What up, world? It's your girl, Radiant Robin, and this is the Radiant Robin Show. All right, good people. So today I have with me Eleveny Fletcher.
Hello.
Eleveny Fletcher is a mental health counselor. And today we are going to be, of course, talking about mental health. Yes, I know it's June, but May was Mental Health Month. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we bypassed that with all the things going on in the world right now. It kind of went over our heads.
Yes.
So, let's dive into it. It's 2020 and it is crazy.
Yes, it is.
It is chaotic.
Yes.
If it wasn't that crazy virus, now is Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And if this is not a time to focus on our mental health, I don't know what is.
True.
I was looking at, well, first and foremost, let's start from the beginning. Eleveny, if you would like to tell me who you are, what you do, and how you got into what you are into.
Okay. Well, I am a licensed professional clinical counselor with the state of Ohio. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and a minor in social sciences.
Okay.
And then I received my master's degree in clinical and rehabilitation counseling from Ohio University. So,
it's Black Girl Magic.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, right now, of course, I'm a mental health counselor working for a hospital system. But I've come from working with the court system for the past 10 years.
Okay.
So initially I worked for Common Pleas Court, kind of helping offenders get treatment in lieu of convictions if there was like drug-related offenses.
Okay.
And then I moved from that into custody evaluations for Domestic Relations Court, where I worked for like 8 years.
Okay.
And I was a forensic family evaluator, so in that position, we worked with families going through divorce or meeting with people post-decree, that's after they've been divorced.
Okay.
And have issues with, like, parenting time, parenting schedules, or wanting to change custody altogether.
So when you say forensic, when I think forensic, I think death. What's that about? Like,
a lot of people think like CSI when they think forensic, right? No, forensic just means that you are working for a court system, and it's a delineation between forensic and treatment. So,
okay,
at that moment, I was not providing treatment, as in mental health counseling. I was simply gathering information for court proceedings.
Mm,
so
okay.
That's what forensic is.
Oh, divorce and mental health.
Right.
They go almost hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's needed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in that as far as things that people go through in family court, especially like with children involved in like mental health? Like,
oh, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy work.
Very heavy work.
Yes, it's very contentious and acrimonious, and you are seeing good people at a difficult time.
Okay.
Right. So these family structures are like being, you know,
destroyed,
broken apart.
Mm-hmm.
So of course there's a mental health aspect to that, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But we meet with the children. It's kind of like during those evaluations, you're kind of assessing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're assessing parenting practices, parenting styles, mental health, legal background issues, medical issues, anything in your life that would impact your ability to parent appropriately. And so being a mental health counselor, of course, that's where I would focus a lot on. And I recommended counseling for a lot of families that I saw, especially children,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones who deal with the brunt of not only the divorce, but parents fighting.
Mm. I am very a big stickler on that, because going through it myself personally, I almost looked at it and it was like, we need to turn this around. We need to go backwards. Before people get married, you can't control when people have children,
right.
But the state have found a way to control when we get married or how we get married. I think that there definitely should be a mandate for counseling before you get married. People need to know each other's mental... First of all, we need to know our own mental states, mm-hmm. before we go into collaborating with somebody else's mental state, mm-hmm. and each other, just to know where we are mentally and emotionally. People are so... They're not ready to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. They're not ready... to go to depth like that, because they have to look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. And mm-hmm. then we don't think about that, because they always say it's like a word. You know, you got to be careful who you have children with.
Mm-hmm.
You are absolutely right, because when you decide to break apart from that person, nobody thinks about what the child goes through. And although, correct me if I'm wrong, again, because I went through it personally, looking at my own children,
mm-hmm.
And then I know case by case and everybody is not the same,
mm-hmm.
that children are more resilient than the parents are.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the parents are the people that drive the children crazy. Like you said, dealing with the... Our children almost have to parent us,
yeah.
in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is it to you for people to have counseling or a mental health provider?
Well, I guess I would say it's very important, being that I'm a mental health counselor. but I think it's necessary at different times in your life to have a supportive, non-judgmental, non-biased person and environment that you can talk to, brainstorm, share intimate details or intimate, you know, what your intimate thoughts and feelings are about, you know, whatever the issues are. We all go through things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it ever hurts to talk to a professional, mm-hmm. especially if you feel like you are struggling. It's impairing your ability to connect with others,
mm-hmm.
It's impacting you on the job, and it's interfering in your relationships,
mm-hmm.
then I would think that those would be pivotal times to talk to a professional.
So many of us, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, people of color,
mm-hmm.
almost don't believe in mental health professionals. We don't know how to separate religion or spirituality from mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to break that down, and why is important to separate or to have? Because we kind of use, I know that in Catholic religion do the confessionals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Catholic religions do the confessionals, like that's it, you know. And I think that what I've seen, being an African American in the Christian or Baptist community, that's how we kind of use our pastors and deaconess as confessionals. And we take our issues there and it's pray about it. How do you separate that?
Well, first let me say, I think spirituality is a part of mental health.
Yes, it's important. Very important.
So, I don't know if it's possible to separate that.
Okay.
Because they are connected. I feel if people are in a healthy spiritual place, they're at peace, they have a sense of serenity, of course that will help improve your mental health.
Okay.
Overall. So, but as far as the African American or people of color seeking out mental health counseling specifically, you know, there is a stigma associated with mental health or seeing a professional. People think like you're crazy,
mm-hmm.
or you can just pray it off. It's the spirit of depression, mm-hmm. and suicide and all this stuff. But I'm trying to remember what the question was.
Basically, how not to, like you said, not separating it, but the difference between, you know, having a spiritual walk or a religious walk and actually speaking to a mental health professional.
Right. Well, I think the spiritual leaders in the church are counselors.
Okay.
They are. I mean, and there's a such thing as spiritual counseling. Now,
right.
That's not my area of expertise, so I can't really speak on that.
I've spoke to a spiritual counselor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but as far as mental health counseling, like I was saying before, when it starts impairing or interfering in your quality of life, yes, spirituality is an aspect of it, but I think that's when it's important to go talk to a professional.
Okay.
So let's say you're having difficulty concentrating at work,
okay.
You're having relationship issues,
mm-hmm.
you're having problems with communication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be a host of things that okay. can be impacted by mental health, or just simply feeling depressed, anxious, or suicidal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing right there, because when we are in those... First of all, I'll bring myself into it and say, I had no idea I was depressed. I had no idea I had anxiety. I went to see a counselor, and they said to me, hey, you have this, but it's temporary. You know, that's what I was told. And I'm like, well, I know that's, you know, what was going on. I didn't know the symptoms. I didn't know that, you know.
Right.
So I think that that's a big thing. We don't know what's going on. We've never had this experience. So it's like, where do we go next? Who do we go to? And then that's when, you know, you go to a place and it's like, oh, we need to pray for you. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being encouraged. Well, let me ask, how do you encourage someone to go seek or... Well, I can kind of answer that question myself. You know, I've given out cards, set cards on table.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But it's almost like, when do you, like, look at your family member or a friend or something like that and say, I think we need to seek some help. I think you need to see a mental health professional. Like this right here, what we're doing, like the girlfriend thing. We're going to sit across from each other. We're going to have wine. Oh, girl, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. He tripping or this, that, and the other versus, all right, sis, I love you. We need to go talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you go about that? Or how would you advise people to do that with each other?
So you started off by saying you didn't know that you were depressed,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people don't know what the symptoms are necessarily of different mental health or emotional conditions.
Okay.
I think we could address that by having open conversations about it. Mental health is one of those taboo topics,
mm-hmm.
where people don't like to discuss it because they don't want to feel weak or appear crazy,
mm-hmm.
or... just judged,
yeah,
in general, right? So I think having those open conversations about mental health, because mental health is a part of your health,
right,
because the mind and body are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Also I think education
big.
Sometimes it's just basic information, or, you know, if you have these symptoms or you experience this, then you might need help. You, of course, you get those questionnaires sometimes,
yeah.
when you go to the doctor, but should that be the only time you get asked those questions?
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So I think just educating people about the different, you know, feelings and mental health conditions, because let's be honest, I probably didn't learn about mental health until I went to grad school.
Okay.
Like, mental health wasn't something we talked about in my house.
Right.
At home. Or at school.
Or even. At school, right.
I mean, we had sex ed.
Right.
We had health. But we didn't talk about mental health.
But let's be real, because we don't talk about mental health until something has happened.
True.
Right?
Right.
I had a very traumatic event in my life when I was a teenager. And even then, it was like, here, call this number if you start to feel scared or something like that. And it's like, all right, nobody sat down with me and said, listen, this is something you're going to go through, you know. And that's where I think I come from with the whole aspect of like marriage and things like that. This needs to be something that's proactive. Mm-hmm. This needs to be something that's talked about.
Agreed.
Even at any whether it's in school, grade school, whether it's in the church, whether it's with our jobs, this is so important. It's like you said, it's just like I got to go to a physical before I get a job. I got to get drug tested. Ask me those questions. That's a good time to ask me those questions and see where I am mentally.
Right.
You know, before I even come on the job.
I agree.
And we're just not proactive enough, especially in our community, mm-hmm. with mental health.
Yeah.
And again, right now with all this stuff that's going on, my thing, the way I looked at it, so we're angry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are fearful. There's a lot of emotions flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Right.
When I looked at looting and rioting, I saw it as, wow, this would have been a great time to talk to people on how to manage their emotions.
Sure.
How do you attack that?
To piggyback off what you said, I do think rioting and looting is an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know how to channel that into healthy, more effective ways.
Right.
So it comes out behaviorally. Now, attack. I'm losing my train of thought. No, yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because naturally, and again, this is all education, because emotion, yeah, is nothing but energy in motion.
Right.
And like you said, it comes out behavioral. And mm-hmm. because we weren't educated on how to, like, for example, I know that my youngest son had something in school. It was called Turtle.
Okay.
It was a way to minimize, or a way to control your emotions or your anger. So Turtle, you know, you stop or you slow to anger, go into your shell, take a moment, take a few deep breaths, and then come back out and then address, you know, what that's all about. So I think it's hard on set, you know, because of course we looking at something and the first thing we do is react.
Mm-hmm.
Every action has a reaction.
Of course, yeah.
And unfortunately, the reactions to me is like, we could have did this better, you know. And I think, like I said, at this time would be a great time to put out there, hey, listen, let's reel it in, let's bring it back. We got to learn how to, you know, the peaceful protesting was a way to portray or relate your emotions. Sending letters, but of course, that's a whole nother story, because you have the other side. It's like, we did enough of that. We're done. We don't want to do that no more. Mm-hmm. We just angry, and mm-hmm. we want to fuck shit up. You know, excuse my language.
Mm-hmm.
But so I get that, but I think that going forward, it's 2020. We need to start teaching our people, especially our children, on how to better control their emotions. Educate people better on mental health and just how, whether the emotions is good or bad, how to feel them,
mm-hmm.
how to sit with them, feel okay to have those emotions, and what consequences, good or bad, comes from your reaction, because again, every action has a reaction.
Right.
So your reaction has an action to it as well,
right,
or a consequence.
Right.
So with that being said, educating and giving people that leg up on mental health counseling, would you be able to tell me the difference between, because there's a lot of names out there, psychiatrists, psychologists, psych specialist, or mental health counselor? Could you tell me the difference on what they are, and when would people, how would they be directed to see these different people?
Okay. first, I want to piggyback on what you said about being proactive as far as mental health is concerned. That's mm-hmm. Absolutely accurate and valid point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should start on a macro level. So, like, commercials, billboards, which mm-hmm. you see some of those, but we need to probably see more of them.
Okay.
So, occurring on a macro level, but then it needs to also occur on the micro level. So, individually, in these individual families, person to person, one on one, and that's where the breakdown happens. That's where it happens in the individual families, because every family has their own culture, and to a lot of cultures, not just African American or people of color, you crazy if you have to talk to a professional. And I see a lot of people in counseling who feel shameful to be here. So I think if we start talking about it more openly and educating more openly, that it won't be such a, like
people taboo.
It won't be so taboo for people to even acknowledge that it's a necessity.
Okay.
Right. So I'll start there. Now, as far as the differences in the different roles in the mental health. So I'm a licensed counselor.
Okay.
So I'm an LPCC-S.
Okay.
So I'm a licensed counselor. I talk to people. Now, there are licensed social workers that do the same thing. They also provide therapy.
Okay.
Psychiatrists prescribe medication. They are doctors. They are medical doctors.
Okay.
They completed med school and they prescribe psychotropic medications. Psychologists are the people who have like PhDs or PsyDs, and they don't prescribe medication. They are similar to, counselors are similar to psychologists, but a lot of psychologists use a lot of like inventories and personality assessments.
Oh, okay.
They use a lot of scientifically validated tools in their practice.
Okay.
I mean, counselors do too, but that's psychologist thing. Like,
okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, and then, was that it? Did you say anyone else?
I think that's it, because a psych specialist, all of those fall under being a psych specialist.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say counselors are more logical, personal based, whereas psychologists is more scientific?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Counselors, we learned about, you know, emotion, coping skills and stuff like that. But psychologists went to the next step up.
Okay.
They delve deeper into that. And yes, they do, a lot of them do research. A lot of them publish. I mean, counselors do too, but that's a specific part of their field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So what would you say, like, where would you tell people to start?
Well, you've got to start with a mental health assessment. So in each organization does things differently.
Okay.
So here, I do assessments.
Okay.
And you have to have an assessment before you could even see the doctor.
Okay.
So at the assessment, though, I think that's a good time to help someone navigate, you know, where they should be going.
Okay.
Like, is this a medication kind of issue? Because if someone is, you know, delusional or hearing voices or feel like people are watching them.
Like schizophrenia.
Yes.
Okay.
Like something like schizophrenic. I don't think therapy would be the place to start.
Okay.
I think medication would be the place to start to get them stable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are actively psychotic, all those symptoms, that's what that means. If they are actively psychotic, they won't have they won't be logical. Counseling is like, would be a moot point.
Okay.
So they would have to get to a stable position before they can even go to counseling.
Okay.
So at the intake, you kind of help people navigate where they should go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I see big is men. Our men need counseling.
Oh my
God. Oh my gosh, our men need counseling. How do you see lives being changed with the men you see? Like, you know, they finally get here and it's like, do you see a drastic change in their lives over time with the men that you see?
Well, I only see the person, right? And mm-hmm. I only know what they tell me. Mm-hmm. But men are so, and I'm speaking broadly, mm-hmm. but of course this doesn't apply to everybody. They can be so disconnected from their emotions. Mm. And so when they start to feel them, that's a scary experience.
For them.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course. So mm-hmm. that's what drives a lot of men into counseling. And yes, I think with anybody, if you're receiving, you know, support, learning how to process your emotions, how to sit with them, how to feel them, and be reassured that it's okay, mm-hmm. I think you'll improve, you'll show improvements in any area of your life, especially your relationships.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And that's another big thing in families and education, because men are actually taught the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel your emotions. Right. If you feel emotions, you're weak.
Right.
Don't cry.
Right.
And you hear this 40 years later, and you're so disconnected because you've always been told to not be connected. Do you see that turn? Well, like you said, this improvement, but do you see the turnaround there? Like,
Men can be stubborn beings.
Yes, they can.
But yes, I think at some point you do, if they continue to come.
Yes.
Because sometimes they just drop off and they don't come back. Sometimes it can be too much for them. It could be overwhelming. Okay, you feeling all these scary things, and then you have to actually talk about them. a lot of men don't come back. I think we see a larger group of women, of course.
Yeah.
And I can say, I could probably count on one hand how many men I've seen actually cry. Like, you just don't see men cry.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to express that emotion. Like, women, we're so emotional. We can identify a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes I'm helping men identify exactly what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
This is depression. Or that's anxiety,
mm-hmm.
because they don't know.
They have no idea.
No clue.
Like, yeah. Is this love I'm feeling?
Yeah, right.
What is that? It's tinkling. I don't know what you got here. So, oh my gosh, that just really, and I think that's why I'm so pro-male,
mm-hmm.
because I'm in a family full of men.
Mm-hmm.
God made me birth men, and it's just like, you're so disconnected. You know, I've seen the disconnect. So as I go through, because finally being in a place in my life where I can actually observe and I don't have to be connected to it, I can actually say, hey, how about this? Or ask the right questions to bring that emotion out of certain men, or even with my boys. You know, I'm gonna go and give kudos to my mom, as I always do, because I saw her tell my brothers, or teach my brothers, hey, men cry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever tell, if a woman tells you that you are soft for crying, you don't need to be around her, mm-hmm. because men cry, you're a human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell my boys, and I try to have them identify with that, you know, like, hey, listen, if you're feeling some kind of way, we can talk about it. Or I give them their space. Hey, if you want to talk about this later, we can go to your corner. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to yell at you, because you still are, you're a tiny human,
mm-hmm.
and you have emotions. So we can talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to have them and help them identify with those emotions, so that going forward, they won't be in their late 20s and 30s sitting in front of you,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So again, I'm a big advocate of men getting counseling,
mm-hmm.
because you're better fathers, mm-hmm. you're better husbands and boyfriends, and you know, you're better sons, you're better at work, you know, mm-hmm. You see a lot of men lashing out and being mad because of course they don't know how mm-hmm. they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Again, looking at globally what's going on right now, you have men that's out here doing these things because they're pissed and they have no other way. They have no idea of how to relate or how to tell somebody, hey, I'm mad, I need help.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I am one of those people out there rooting for them, like, hey, come on in, come to counseling. I'm going to be on the street with my sign. That's like funny. Go to go to counseling. So yeah. Do you have anything to add as far as like education and resources for people in taming their mental health?
Well, I think self-care is the basis of mental health, right?
So okay.
Taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. spiritually, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
If you take care of yourself, a lot of times you will be in a good mental space.
Mm-hmm.
When you start neglecting yourself, obviously you start having a lot of problems. I see a lot of people who prioritize other people before themselves. Mm. And sometimes as women, we have a tendency to do that because we are nurturers. But if you're not healthy physically or emotionally, how can you help someone else or care for someone else
mm.
adequately and appropriately? So self-care, I think, is like, that's the first thing, foundation. So whether that's taking long baths, taking 15-minute walks, exercising, getting proper sleep, like all of these things contribute to our mood and our mental health. So just doing the basics.
Okay.
There are a lot of resources out there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
One is Mobile Crisis.
Okay.
So Mobile Crisis, that's Cuyahoga County based.
Okay.
And it's a hotline 24/7. If someone is in a like a crisis situation, they're mm-hmm. feeling suicidal, they can call this number. And that number actually has people that will go out to that person's home, assess them, and intervene as necessary.
Nice.
So Mobile Crisis is one that I tell people about all the time.
Okay.
Because in counseling, let's face it, you meet with someone 1 hour every 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good to have an environment, a supportive environment that's conducive to emotional health. But really, the work is on you. And then you're spending all mm-hmm. the rest of this time by yourself in the world.
Right.
You need some resources to be able to connect with. So Mobile Crisis is one of the my most used resource. Okay. And there's another one called The Warm Line.
The Warm Line?
Yeah, The Warm Line. And that's not if you're in a mental health emergency or crisis situation. That's if you just, sometimes people just need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And listen to them.
Especially now, like, or, you know, during the quarantine time, a lot of people are at home, especially like the elders, that, like you said, are sitting alone, and you have those times where you don't want to speak to your family or your mm-hmm. friends because you don't want to be judged. So,
right. I don't know. I'm coughing. Sorry. Yeah, so The Warm Line is 24 hours a day. It is manned by consumers. So this means that these are people who themselves are in recovery for mental health issues.
Okay.
So they're in a stable part of their lives where they can provide peer support to other people. So they talk to people, listen to them, provide them with resources and referrals. And so that is 24 hours a day also. I just learned about this new resource. It's a crisis text line. So you don't okay. even have to talk to someone. You could just text them.
Good, good.
And it's free. It's text the number 4HOPE to 741 741.
Okay.
And that's a free resource anywhere in the U.S. Anybody in the U.S. can text that line any time of day.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is awesome. Mm-hmm. What do you think about, does it still exist, 211?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's first call for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have plenty of resources, but mental health is one?
Yeah. So I think First Call for Help is like a resource directory.
Okay.
So you can call them to get, like, if you have a mental health, if you want to access mental health services, let's say, you give them your zip code and they will tell you all of the mental health agencies or places that you can receive treatment in your vicinity.
Okay.
So, yes, mental health is one of the resources that they, I'm sure, that they tell people about a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add today?
Just the importance of mental health, especially in our African American communities.
Yes.
And people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to be able to have the strength and the courage to reach out. And I always applaud people for having the strength and the courage to say, I need help.
Yes. That's a strength. And I try to tell people that all the time. Showing your, I don't want to say weakness because
vulnerability.
Thank you. Showing your vulnerability is a strength.
Yes, it is.
It's a builder. Being brave, that is, like you said, applaud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to encourage people mm-hmm. to do so. And I tell them all the time, honey, by the first time I walked out of the office for the first time having a counselor, I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been missing all my life. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. Every now and then, it's almost like I just want to sit just to check in on myself to make sure I'm on the right path.
Right.
So, yes. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
of
you
course.
For that.
Yeah, of course. And heck, mental health counselors or mental health professionals are encouraged to have their own mental health professional.
So that's not a rumor.
No.
I thought that was a rumor, like counselors need counselors. Okay,
see, you know
healing
how much,
the healer, right?
Right? Yeah. You know how much stuff we hear?
Yes.
I mean, I've heard a lot of stuff, like stuff that I couldn't even imagine. And so there is a such thing as vicarious trauma.
Okay.
Where you can feel traumatized by hearing other people's trauma.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is encouraged for mental health professionals to have someone to talk to. That is a real thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to be transparent. I have sought out my own counseling at points in my life because if I'm not healthy, how am I going to be in a position to help other people achieve emotional stability or get in a healthy place themselves?
Right.
So it's just, I think it should be viewed with a more open mind, and a topic that we talk about more often.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's about it. That's all that I have to say. Do you have any questions for me anymore?
No, I think you covered everything. Like, I'm so filled right now. So I want to thank you so much for being transparent
and
informational. This has been wonderful. I hope you guys have soaked up all this good juju and that if you haven't seen a counselor, Eleveny and I both encourage you to do so. If you, have family members, friends, or people around you that you feel need that help, encourage them, walk with them, try your best to be empathetic and compassionate with them. There are resources out there. And just stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Eleveny, I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to end this with telling you guys that I hope you are safe. I hope you are healthy. I wish you all peace and love, and I wish you enough. We out. Peace.